In our polarized, frenetic, and crazy busy society, we need to remember what life was created to be and how we were created to be. We also need hope that it won't always be this way. And so we explore the story of our creation, the story in the book of Genesis. Last week, we explored how we were created to care for creation. And this week, we explore how we were created for rest. In recent years, the subject of rest has received a lot of attention in the United States. Getting sufficient sleep, taking breaks, utilizing your full vacation, maintaining relationships, practicing meditation, yoga, mindfulness, all of these have become strong encouragements from employers and schools. Some employers and schools even offer opportunities and resources to practice this rest during the day. Rest has received a lot of attention because stress has become a real concern in our society. In the United States, the leading cause of death is cardiac disease. And the greatest link to cardiac disease is stress. You guessed it. Young people are also not immune to the effects of stress. In the Silicon Valley, suicide ideation, severe depression, and other mental health issues have recently skyrocketed, and there's great concern amongst high school students. According to Samira Khan in Affinity magazine, there's no simple answer to determine the cause of these mental health concerns among high school students, but she suggests that there are great linkages to stress. She reminds us that in 2009, at Gunn High School in Palo Alto, 5 students within 9 months committed suicide, and 42 had been hospitalized or treated for suicide ideation. When asked why, students responded that the academic rigor of schoolwork, pressure from successful parents, and excess of extracurricular activities were reasons. We see what's happening around us and within us, and we know that this is not how it was supposed to be. We know that it's not supposed to be this way when young people no longer live, when young people no longer want to live, and when we no longer or can't live either. We feel it deep within our bones that we need rest. The truth is, human beings were created for rest. In Genesis 1, 26 to 27, man and woman are created. They are the crown, the pinnacle of creation, after which God looks at all that he has created and sees that it is very good. Man and woman are created, and what is it that they do on their first full day of life? They rest. Genesis 2, 2 to 3 says, "And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." As you hear this, whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you are still exploring the faith, the concept of God resting might not make sense. Why would God need to rest if he's all-powerful? Could God have exhausted himself from his creative work and so needed to rest? What might help us is a little bit of a word study of this word rest and then placing it again into the context in Genesis. Now, the Hebrew word for rest is Shabbat or Sabbath. And Sabbath means to cease, desist, or rest. Now, rest placed alongside cease and desist causes us to consider that Sabbath is not reactionary. It's proactive. It's intentional. Genesis 2:2 says that on the seventh day, God finishes his creative work and he Sabbaths. Verse 3 then says that because God Sabbaths from all his creative work, he blesses the seventh day and makes it holy. God's Sabbath is therefore not created to regain his strength after 6 full days of work. It's a sign of his pleasure with creation. His creation is very good, so he creates one more thing, a day of ceasing, of resting. The seventh day is unique to creation. God calls this day, and this day only, holy. He sets it apart for his purposes. Time, and not space or any other created thing, is made holy, meaning set apart for God's purposes. In the Old Testament, God's people are commanded to keep the Sabbath holy. In Exodus 20, God's people are reminded that because God Sabbaths on the seventh day and makes it holy, God's people are to also keep the Sabbath holy. Maybe you remember the third commandment from your confirmation class. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your ox, your donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor, or the sojourner who is within your gates. Why? For in 6 days God made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, then ceased or rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. In Exodus 24, God commands the people to keep the Sabbath as a covenant, as a sign of the covenant that God has with his people. And then in Deuteronomy 5, God's people are commanded to keep the Sabbath. They are commanded to keep the Sabbath holy because they're no longer slaves. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. As Lutheran Christians, we have largely disregarded the command to keep the Sabbath. We memorize this third commandment in confirmation and forget it just the moment we memorize it. Why? It doesn't seem relevant to our lives. Not many among us that we know actually practice keeping the Sabbath. Also, it doesn't seem to fit into our theology. We know that we are saved by grace through faith. We know that there is nothing more that we can do to save ourselves. It is God's gift of grace through Jesus. But we often stop there. We have a really difficult time seeing that obedience plays a part in our life of faith. As James writes, faith without works is dead. Or as Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Faith without works is dead. We are created for good works. But obedience is hard. We are sinners, and we have the perpetual instinct to pursue our own interests rather than the commands of God or to be in service to one another. Yet obedience to God is a necessary part of following Jesus. It is a necessary part of being Jesus' disciples. As Jesus says in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's amazing to consider that resting or keeping the Sabbath is a command that we don't want to obey. We're exhausted. One would think that resting would be the easiest command to obey, but in our culture, it's probably the most difficult. To keep the Sabbath means that we discipline ourselves to relegate work to 6 days of work and then cease on the seventh, to cease all work. To keep the Sabbath means to end the rat race, the competition to be the best, be the smartest, be the hardest working. To keep the Sabbath means to stop striving and simply be, to rest in the love of God and to worship him. Now, the first commitment that I made when I came to First Timothy's was to have a Sabbath day. I had learned that this was really important for people who are followers of Jesus, but I had never once done it. I didn't know that how important this might be until I started ministering here, and I realized how exhausted I got if I did not take a Sabbath rest. so, within a few weeks, I realized that it was critical to my health and sustainability to minister here that I take a Sabbath rest. And this was really a struggle, to put myself out of commission for one whole day. And it's still a struggle. And this is in part why I know it's so critical, because it's such a struggle. My husband Alec and I have talked about this not a few times, of how difficult this is. It seems to go against my very nature not to produce something, not to do something, some errand, something that will put me ahead and make life easier for the future. But I've realized that when I don't do this, when I don't cease or rest, I am more irritable, exhausted, fearful, controlling, frustrated, self-serving, less creative, and less hopeful. I don't have the clarity to see with a greater perspective or to help others as Jesus is calling me to. I forget who I am and who God is. This is the core of Sabbath keeping. Human beings were created to rest so that we would know who we are and who God is. Without frequent reminders and designated time, we forget. Without intentional time sitting in the presence of God, worshiping with other believers, and waiting in the silence, we quickly believe that God must not be at work, that this is all there is to life, and we despair. Without ceasing, we easily think that life is what we make it, that everything is dependent on our efforts, and that we are what we do. But friends, we are not what we do. We are not what we accomplish, how we have failed, or what our family history has to say about us. You and I and all human beings were created from the love and pleasure of God. When you and I were created, God saw that it was very good. You are not a mistake, and neither is the neighbor that you don't like. You were created and created to rest, to cease striving for personal gain or comfort, to be holy in the presence of God. Lutheran theologian Marva Don offers some questions to spur our imagination in keeping the Sabbath. Here are some questions. What is it that brings you grace best? What teaches you that you are loved in spite of yourself? What people or activities or objects might you enjoy on your next Sabbath day to enfold you in God's lavish, steadfast love? Now, for the parent of young children, keeping the Sabbath or even resting for a few minutes might seem like a complete joke. But though it's likely much more difficult, it's not impossible. And Marva Don writes in one of her books about an encouragement she once offered a mother. She had no idea how helpful this would end up being, but she included this in here that I thought might be encouraging for you. Marva suggested to her friend that since she had such a difficult time finding devotional space in her life with a three-year-old, Marva suggested that perhaps she enlist the help of her son to protect this time. So Marva writes that she visited the house several weeks later. She knocked on the door and she wanted to talk about something for choir. Her little son opens the door and he says, "Shh, Mommy's busy. She's doing her devotional time. You can't interrupt. But you can join me in watching Sesame Street." So he grabbed her by the hand and led her into the living room and indicated that she needed to plop herself down on the floor. And then he stood guard over her the entire episode. Once Sesame Street had concluded, he then said, "Okay, you can go see Mommy now." So he ran off to go get her. In this life, we will experience glimpses of this rest, this joy in the presence of God. And though we see through a mirror dimly, we continue to pursue this rest as a sign and as a foretaste of the feast to come. For in our rest, we seek God's presence and look forward to the day when Jesus will come again and take us home to celebrate the Sabbath eternally with him. One day we will fully be in the presence of God, no longer separated by our sin, and we will bow before the throne of Jesus and worship him with all believers singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have created us out of your love and pleasure so that we could rest in your presence. We confess that we have not done this. Many of us have not tried, not done it very well. Lord, we confess that we don't take your command seriously. Change our hearts so that we look like Jesus. We pray for that rest, that it would transform us. Not just that we wouldn't feel tired and haggard, but Lord, that we would truly know who you have created us to be and that we would know you as you are. Continue to encourage us, and may this be for us a sign, a foretaste of the feast to come, when we will be with you one day without any separation, with you and your Son and the Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.